We're going to start a new book today. No, not today, at least Sunday school, but we're going to have to start several new books here in the next couple weeks. Today, we are starting, how's the weather, Tammy? Turn your Bibles today to the book of Ephesians. We're going to start Ephesians. Ephesians. I thought about that, yeah. One day, a day in the life of Jude. So Ephesians is, I think, a little bit more, got some practical application, a lot more practical application to you and me. It's written to our group of folks, Gentile believers, and the way Paul writes these letters, he'll lay a foundation first, explain kind of where you're at, what the groundwork is, and then it'll start kind of framing up from that and then make more application out of the foundation. So the first couple chapters are a lot of foundational descriptions of what happens to somebody when they are born again, and particularly the blessings that are in Jesus Christ. Getting into Jesus Christ, it's like, we'll liken it this morning to when Noah got into the ark. He wasn't perfect, he wasn't completely rid of his sin or anything, but there are a whole lot of blessings that are associated with being in that ark. And that's the idea. And so you'll see over and over the phrase, and just look for it, in Christ. So he's going to show you all these things that happen to you when you get put into the body of Jesus Christ. But let's pray, and we're going to cover, Lord willing, the first 12 verses of this book. And all right. Father, thank you so much for your words. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that you would have liberty among us. And not just us in here, but fill the teachers in the back with your Holy Spirit as they teach their classes and minister the words of God there. Lord, I pray that we would all get what we need from you. And that's what we need, is something from you. And Lord, I pray that you would have liberty to give it to us this morning. I pray I wouldn't get in the way. You'd guide my heart, my mind, my mouth, and you would say what you want said here. And really ground us, those that need some more grounding or just some some confirmation of some things, and just whatever it is that's needed, Lord, you just fill in the needs there, and because you know, and I pray that you do this in the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, so the idea here is that phrase "in Christ" is, we'll just take as an illustration, it's like Noah and his family getting on the ark. They were in the ark, and let's just, I know it's early, we got had to get started an hour earlier today, so if, instead of being peppy, because I'm just not peppy, I don't have the peppiness. But I'll let you guys be peppy for me. And then, so when Noah got in the ark, you guys think about this, when Noah got in the ark, what were some things that were associated, some blessings that were associated with being in that ark? You were safe. You were safe. That's one. Yeah. So they were in the ark for a year. What else? What's some other things that were in that ark that, I mean, obviously the big one, you were saved. Food, there was provision on the ark. They got to cuddle with the animals. Wow. What else? Anything else? The Lord was there with them. Absolutely. Anything else, you guys? Y'all try to think. I know it's early. Lots. Well, there's probably some spiritual application to that. Anything else you guys think of? It would stay. Wow, we're going in the wrong direction here. What? You get to be with all God's creation. How about when they got off the ark? Everything was new. It was all theirs. They inherited the entire earth. So those are some blessings. And the point is, the idea is, all right, so this family gets on the ark. They're not perfect people. Obviously, they get off the ark and they still got problems, so they carry their sin with them. But the point was, being in the ark carried with it multiple blessings that people who weren't on the ark didn't have. And that's the idea of being in Jesus Christ. When you get saved, all right, you get put into the body of Jesus Christ, and there are multiple blessings because God has poured His blessings on Jesus Christ, put them in Jesus Christ. And so the way you get blessings from God is you get into Jesus Christ. All right, so let's read a few things. This is, we'll start in verse 1. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. See that? In Christ Jesus. Grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein did toward us in all, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good purpose in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of. Did what? Trusted in Christ. So there's the condition of everything you just read, all right? Because that'll come up in later. And I think we're going to spend a few weeks on that predestination, all that stuff, because that stuff is, it's biblical, but it's not biblical in the way a lot of people think it's biblical. But we'll probably deal with that starting next week. The point this week is the blessings in Christ. And you just read several verses of things that God is identifying that you got just by trusting Jesus Christ. So you make a decision, you trust Jesus Christ, and all those verses start to come into play here. All right, look in verse 3. Let's start there, and we're going to start looking at what you got in Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So what's the first thing that you get listed here in Jesus Christ? Spiritual blessings, all right? And obviously they're spiritual. You don't get the physical blessings now. You got to live out your life and all that kind of thing. But you get all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. What are some spiritual blessings? Just think about, maybe we can go away from manure and all that kind of stuff and think about something different. What are some spiritual blessings that aren't tangible things that you can hold in your hand, but they're things that you have in Jesus Christ? What's something that's a spiritual blessing. Peace, assurance, mercy, and grace. Well, what is it? Joy, absolutely. What else? Those are good ones. I mean, that's what the world is looking for. Love and comfort. Forgiveness, that's a big one. Yeah, absolutely. What was it, Claire? Patience. Yeah, patience. That's right. So all of these things and more, justification, you trust Jesus Christ, he clears the record. You are justified before God. And all that is found in Jesus Christ. Physical blessings are also found in Jesus Christ, just not right now. Look over here in Revelation chapter 22. Here we are back in Revelation. Wow. I don't know. You know, it just, I think this is the only time we're going to go here. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. So right now you are able to participate and you have access to all spiritual blessings in Christ. And I just want to show you this thing to show you the physical blessings that are also in Christ, Revelation 22, 12. But you don't get those yet. Jesus Christ says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work, as his work shall be." That's just the physical blessings when he returns and he divvies out inheritance, he divvies out crowns. That's physical blessings that he has with him. And it's different than the spiritual blessings. But the point is, all the blessings, physical, spiritual, are in Jesus Christ. They're just divvied out at a different time. Right now, go back to Ephesians, you have access and are given all spiritual blessings in Christ. Okay, let's see. Ephesians 1, we did verse 3. So it's in heavenly places in Christ. The next one is in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. All right, we're going to deal with the choosing and all that stuff in depth in probably the next couple of weeks. But read carefully what he said in verse 4. What did he choose in verse 4? To do what? That a people should be holy and without blame. All right, that was the choice God made, that his the character of his people would be holy and without blame. All right, so according as he hath chosen us in him, all that is in Christ, holiness, blamelessness, that is in Jesus Christ. Now notice, and like I said, we're going to deal with this in depth probably the next couple of weeks. Notice there's no individual choice made here. He's choosing the characteristics of the people, that they should be holy and without blame according as he has chosen us in him. That's the point. I'm going to choose a people in Jesus Christ. The characteristics of those people would be the characteristics of Jesus Christ, who is holy and without blame. And that's going to be the characteristics of my people. All right, that's what he says in verse 4. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. So he makes that decision before the foundation of the world. Now we can do a little study on foundation of the world. We won't do that now, but that's the point. He made this decision a long time ago. All right, that he would have holy people without blame before him, living in love. That we'd walk in love, we'd be blameless, we'd be holy, all that thing. All right, so not only did he consolidate all of the spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ, he chose the characteristics of his people in Jesus Christ. That's what you and I will end up as. We're not that way now. We still live in these bodies. We still got this flesh. So we're not holy and we're not blameless. Or I should say, these bodies are not holy and they're not blameless. But in the future, when you get a new body, that will be the characteristics that you have. All right, go to verse 5. The next thing that is in Christ is an adoption and a corruptible body that is changed, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. All right, verse 5, that word there, predestinated, has been hijacked by Calvinists. They go by several different names these days: Calvinists, sovereign grace, free grace, that kind of stuff. But they take a Bible word and make it something it's not. But I'm not gonna deal with that this morning. I'm gonna deal with what it actually says here. So what he says is he predetermined that your body is going to be changed at some point in the future. Notice he says the adoption of children. What in the world is the adoption of children? Look over here in Romans chapter 8. And verse 15. And notice the comparison, the spirit versus the flesh. When Paul's dealing with this in Romans, he says this, Romans 8, starting in verse 15. The adoption is the completed, it's the redemption of the body there. You'll see that in just a second. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So you've received the spirit of adoption. You haven't received the body of adoption yet, but you've received the spirit. All right, verse 16, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The spirit does that, the body doesn't. The body doesn't bear witness to anything. The body is just carnal, and it has its own lusts, its own appetites, its own desires. But, keep reading. Skip down to verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Now, that's a good description of a Christian. Somebody who's trying to live right, live for the Lord. Or, I mean, if you got saved, you've got conflicting personalities going on. So you groan within yourself, all right? where were we? Verse 22. All right, groaneth and travaileth in pain together. And not only they, verse 23, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the what? The adoption, to wit, what is it? The redemption of the body. All right, so he said, all right, you got saved, you got a spirit put in you that cries out to God and calls him Father. But you don't have a body yet that says that. But for the time being, you've got a spirit that says that. You're a new creature as far as that spirit. You're a child of God in that sense. But you're just waiting for the body to be lined up with the Spirit. All right? And so go back to, so that you understand, that's the adoption. That is the completed adoption. You got the spiritual part first. You'll get the body part next. All right? Go back to Ephesians. And look in chapter 1, verse 5. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children, so we would be the children of God, by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So he was going to take a bunch of sinners and make them his children. That was his predetermination. Now, he didn't choose you individually, but he chose a group of people that, according to verse 12, who first trusted in him, because that's the conditional part of it. You trust in Jesus Christ and you get all this stuff you didn't even know existed. You get all these blessings that you didn't even know existed. So the body is going to have to be changed, and it's going to be lined up with the spirit that's already been put inside you. Let me show you a couple other places. I think Romans is probably one of the most clear places he deals with that. Look in Galatians chapter 4. see it again about this adoption. Verse 4. This is one of the benefits of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and then resurrecting in a glorified body, because now he's going to pass that on to children. Verse 4. But when the fullness, Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, so you're already a child of God. You're just, it's not the process. The whole thing isn't complete yet because the body is still corrupted. And because ye are sons of God, hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you got the Spirit, you just don't have the body yet. Does that make sense? You got something inside that doesn't match with what's the outside. The outside's saying its own thing, but you got a new man inside you saying, when we pray, you know, Father, and you, the spiritual part is a child of God. The physical part isn't yet. So that's the adoption. I'll tell you what, there's a few more verses. Let's go ahead and look at a couple of these. Look at Philippians chapter 3. Because this is probably where a lot of Christians get messed up. You get confused and you start thinking that you are a body. And so all the sins and all the things that are associated with that flesh, you think, well, am I saved? Am I not saved? I mean, what's going on? I thought when I got saved, I wouldn't have these desires. Nonsense. You still have all the desires. You still got the flesh. And that doesn't go away until you die, until you get changed. All right, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. I tell you what, verse 20 for the context. Remember he said all spiritual blessings in heaven in the first part of Ephesians? Now watch. This is a practical thing about your life. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. All right, so the first part of that, verse 20, your conversation is in heaven. All right, set your affections on things above, all spiritual blessings in Christ in heavenly places, all those things. You see where he puts all this stuff? That's where your eyes are supposed to be focused. That's where you're supposed to be looking. And verse 21, who will change our vile body? So remember this. When you read that verse, he is talking to Christians. You get that? He's talking to Christians. And you got Christians running around that say that once you get saved, then you shouldn't be committing habitual sin. You shouldn't be committing, it's every sin that they think they don't do. That's the kind of the qualifications, you know. The point is, Paul is talking to Christian people living in vile bodies. And he says, that part of you has not been changed, and so you're going to have to deal with that part of you. All right? So that is the completed adoption, the spiritual part. He's put the Spirit in you, and you'll see that in Ephesians, the earnest of our inheritance. He puts the Spirit inside of you. But he didn't change the body yet. All right, that's the third thing. Go back to Ephesians and see something else. There's so many of these in this chapter. I don't know that we'll get through all of them. Or at least in these 12 verses. So he puts all spiritual blessings in Jesus Christ. He chooses the characteristics of his people in Jesus Christ. He's going to change this corruptible body according to the working of Jesus Christ. That's the determination he's made. And then verse 6, this is something I guess everybody wants to have this in their life. Verse 6, to the praise of the glory of his grace wherein he hath made us, what? Accepted in the beloved. So you're accepted now. All right, so to God, that is your standing before God in Christ. You are now accepted. Whereas before you weren't accepted. This is a whole, you could preach on this thought, I think, but it's an interesting thing, I think, our view of God about some of these things, where you guys know the verse where he says in Matthew, for instance, he says, depart from me, for I never what? I never knew you. Well, doesn't God know everything? So why would he say, I never knew you? I mean, he said, I never, we're kind of going off on something, but I want you to see this. This is interesting. I'm going to have to find this verse. Look over in Galatians real quick. Oh, let's see. I knew where it was in that other Bible. Galatians, where it says, you are known of God. Where it says, you are known of God. Oh man, I thought it was at the beginning here. It's in Galatians. I thought it was early in the book. Where it says he knew God. Oh, there it is. All right, Galatians 4:9. Yeah. All right, keep that in mind. Matthew, where he says, I never knew you. Galatians 4, verse 9. He says, but now, after that ye have known God. All right, so you got to know God. But then he says this. Now you have known God, or rather are known of God. Well, that's a little different thought. Are known of God. How turn ye again to the weak? That's like you and God met. That's a little different thought than, you know, he's just known you forever. When you meet somebody, I'm so-and-so, I'm so-and-so, and you meet and you're like, okay, now I know who that guy is or that girl is. But he says in verse 9, but now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, rather are known of him. So at the end of someone's life, or at this judgment we're looking at in Matthew, we're just thinking about in Matthew, he says, I never knew you. Interesting aspect of God here. I'm going to show you something else, and this is going to be just some thoughts for future time. We'll probably come back to it a long time later. But look in Genesis real quick. I'm just going to throw these out there. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 12. This is kind of a little rabbit trail. We'll get back in just a second. Genesis chapter 22, verse 12. Look what he says about Abraham. All right, let me ask you this. Doesn't God know everything? Okay. That's the bait. Now you guys got it, so let's read this verse. Genesis 22:12. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now what? I know thou fearest God. Now I know. That's like a new piece of information was put in now, and now I know something about you that I didn't know before. That's an interesting aspect of God. I'm going to let y'all, we'll think about that later on. Go back to Ephesians and let's think about this being accepted. Because there's a time that you're not accepted in God. You're not accepted, and being accepted is based on what you do with Jesus Christ. What does he say? Him he heareth, yeah. It's an interesting thing about the Lord that we'll develop a little bit later. Not in this Sunday school, but just some interesting things there. All right, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So you got in Jesus Christ, and it's like you and the Lord met each other. You remember when Thomas said, show us the Father. I mean, we've been walking around with you, and we've been talking with you. So what is this all headed towards? You know, show us the Father. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've met me, you've met God. We're the same. So in Jesus Christ, you're made acceptable. Now you are, you know, you shake hands, you are invited into the house, and you're accepted now. And remember that. I mean, you could preach a whole sermon on that, but that's the thing that catches folks. They get into sin, or they get caught up in something, and the thing that nags on their mind is, am I even acceptable to God anymore? Does he love me anymore? Does he care about me anymore? You know, and you get feeling so isolated from the Lord, and you can get that way. The point is, remember what he's told you. In Christ, you are accepted. Whether you feel accepted or not, you're accepted. So the feelings don't, if they don't match up with what the Bible says, just ignore the feeling. You know, that's the point. All right. Unless you're feeling that way because you're not saved, that's a different thing. You need to get saved. All right, verse 7, Ephesians 1, 7. The next thing is, he cancels sin. He cancels your sin with his blood. Have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, like Yolanda said, according to the riches of his grace. So you get in Christ, your sins are completely cleared, they are forgiven. The Lord chooses not to remember them, not to think about them. They are put under the blood of Jesus Christ, so they are essentially covered. And so when you ask about your sin, the Lord says, I just see the blood of Christ. That's what I see. I don't see anything else. It's covered. And so you have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That all comes in Jesus Christ. That is one thing I ask folks, whether... I don't know. It doesn't really matter the religion or the, Jehovah's Witness or Mormon or whatever. You know, you got these classes that teach you how to deal with each specific, you know. I took a bunch of some of these classes in seminary, college and stuff, and they talk about how you deal with this one and how you deal with this one. And, you know, you deal with people as they're sinners and they need to get saved. And so the point is, and I always think about the point being, what are you doing with your sin? If your sin is not forgiven, then your sin is still on you. Whether you believe whatever you believe about the 144,000 or whatever, the point is, your sin is still on you, and what's going to happen with that? That sin has to be forgiven, because God's not going to let that sin into heaven. It's got to be taken care of. And in Jesus Christ, it gets taken care of. It gets canceled. It gets purchased back, so to speak. The wages of sin is death, and he redeems through his blood, verse 7. All right, some more things here. Verses 8 and 9. Wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. All right, so he makes known some things to you in Jesus Christ. You learn some things about your purpose. You learn some things about what you're supposed to be doing. You learn some things about what God's doing in Jesus Christ. Not just some things, you learn everything about what God's doing in Jesus Christ. And when he says the mystery of his will, Paul will talk about some mysteries. And, when you get into Jesus Christ, the Lord, we make things so, sometimes you make the will of God like it's something that you got to search out with a spyglass or whatever. And it's, the Lord isn't trying to hide his will from people. He wants you to know what you're supposed to be doing. He wants you to know what the next step is. He doesn't want to hide that stuff from you. But a lot of times we will keep it from ourselves because of sin, because of, you know, things we're involved in or whatever it is. But we will lose sight of his will. And then oftentimes I think we'll blame God for losing sight of his will. And it's not his fault. He's trying to make his will known, but it's known under certain circumstances, and it's not something he's trying to hide or make you guess at. So you know the will of God in Jesus Christ. You know what he's doing. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know his work. And all right, let's go on. It gives you wisdom. Verse 10, I'm going to try to get through these 12 verses here. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. So he's going to bring unity. You know, that's the big buzzword, unity and all those kinds of that idea. Unity, real unity is in Jesus Christ. That's where it's found. And so he's going to bring everything into Jesus Christ. That's verse 10. Congregates all creation. And then verse 11. We'll wrap it up with this one. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So you have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. In whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to his purpose, to the purpose of him who worketh all things, after the counsel of his own will. So he determined beforehand that you would have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. What he's determining is that the Father determines, God the Father determines, I'm going to put everything into Jesus Christ. And if people will get into Jesus Christ, trust Jesus Christ, they'll get everything I'm trying to give them. The condition is, you got to get into Jesus Christ. Look in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first did what? Trusted in Christ. That's the condition of everything you just read. Now, you don't have to go about to seek redemption, seek all this stuff you just read about. You trust Jesus Christ, and all this stuff is given to you. And it's given to you. So those are, I don't know how many, 10 or 11, something like that, blessings, things that are in Christ. And what Paul's doing, like he typically does, is he just lays the groundwork. So he gives you a foundation. He says, all right, this is where we're at right now. You trusted Jesus Christ. These are the things that you have. These are the options on the table here. This is where we're starting. You know, you pour the concrete. You get the foundation laid. And all the predestination, all those verses about predestination, it's like this. I go to Houston, and I'm going to fly to Chicago. It's predetermined where I'm going. If I get on this plane, I know where I'm going when I get on this plane. What's the condition? I got to get on the plane. I get on the plane, and I get everything that's going on the plane with it. I get to where I'm going, and that's the predetermined outcome of this flight. That's the predetermined outcome of this, of trusting Jesus Christ. There are some predetermined outcomes for a soul that trusts Jesus Christ. And next week, we'll deal with some of these specific things, like the way Calvinists and the way they take these verses. But I want you to see what he's actually saying first, and then we'll deal with some of this other stuff, because it's so random. how it's just everywhere, and how I hear about it all the time, and it's just everywhere. But the point is, know what he's saying first. These are blessings in Jesus Christ. You get in Jesus Christ, just like Noah got in the ark, and there are several things associated with you getting in Jesus Christ that you and I had no idea were associated with trusting Jesus Christ. It's just like, you know, all I knew when I got saved was, I don't want to go to hell. I know I'm a sinner. I know these sins are going to go somewhere. They can't go to heaven. God is going to put them in hell, and I don't want to go there. And so I trusted Jesus Christ, and then I start reading Ephesians. It's like, oh, so all of this other stuff happened too. I didn't know all this came with it. It's just like I get on the airplane. I don't know how it works. I'm not a mechanic like Barry. I don't know how this thing works. I just know I'm getting from A to B. And then you start learning about some intricacies. They start feeding you a good lunch, maybe. But you get the idea. I think you get the idea. So those are blessings in Christ. That all comes with you trusting Jesus Christ. Do you guys have any questions about any of this stuff? Because this stuff is very practical. And it's very helpful for shaping how you think about your own Christian walk and your own relationship with the Lord. Anybody? Thoughts, questions? Okay. Okay.